Welcome back to the New York Sports Exchange, episode number 142. And the New York Rangers season is over. It's over.
Thank you.
All right, shut up.
God answered my prayers. God answered my prayers. Thank you.
All right. Your prayers have been answered somehow, some way. That was a rough way to go. That was a really rough way to go for the New York Rangers. Tough.
Just is what it is. It is what it is. You're playing a tough team.
Yeah.
Florida's a
you
tough
played
team.
A tough team. Your guys weren't at 100%. It was revealed that Trouba played with a broken ankle at some point during the regular season. I don't understand why you put him on long-term IR, save you $8 million, go get yourself a nice defenseman at the deadline, but whatever. Fox re-aggravated that knee injury against Washington and played through it. Ryan Lindgren played with a broken rib in fucking Carolina, so...
Happens. Any problem with Zibanejad, or was he fine?
He was probably fine. He's too busy prepping for his set at a DJ's in Belmar.
Two takeaways I've taken from this playoff. We got two real soft superstars in the league, and now I'm gonna call Zibanejad a superstar, but him and Mitchell Marner, holy fuck, get your shit together, please. Play some physical hockey. Stop avoiding hits. I mean,
Zibanejad got hit
one time in the corner in game one and refused to retrieve a puck since. And that's a big reason why they lost.
Yeah. We'll recap what the Rangers – we'll actually look over what the Rangers should do in the offseason because I'll be honest. I think
What is Shesterkin going to get? 12-5? 12? 11-5? What are we thinking? Glad I got Sorokin on that like 8.5 deal.
We'll see what happens there. We'll see what happens with Igor. We'll recap all that. Stanley Cup final starts Saturday. NBA final starts tonight. We will preview that. Celtics and the Mavericks. And then the Panthers taking on the Edmonton Oilers. We will give our previews for both finals.
Stan, I had no idea Edmonton would make it this far.
If you were to tell me in October... when Woodcroft got fired, that this team, 30th in the league, will be going to the Stanley Cup final, I would not have believed you.
Completely shocked. What a turnaround. And this started to feel like that St. Louis. Stan, is it starting to feel like 2019?
It does feel like that 2019 team where it's like, you know, a lot of people are getting behind them. You know, they're singing like 2019, a lot of people got behind the Blues. Their goal song went freaking viral. Everyone was singing Gloria. And now
look at Bennington. I mean, look what happened with Bennington. Bennington went on that streak. Now, I mean, let's be honest. Jordan Bennington is just an overpaid goaltender in the league. I'm going to leave that at that. Stuart Skinner. They bring in a mental doctor, probably one of the best known in sports. Helped out a ton of guys. Stuart Skinner's been on a tear since
Jordan and Kobe, right?
Yeah, and now you're looking at Stuart Skinner like he's a Vezina finalist right now. He's been phenomenal. Granted, he hasn't seen, you know, too many tough chances, tough shots.
Yes.
And there'll definitely be more in this series.
I will say, if my team ever lost to a team that put up 10 shots on goal, you wouldn't be seeing me. I'd kill myself. Especially to Stu Skinner. If Igor Shesterkin ever got outgoalied by Stu Skinner, I'd kill myself.
Especially your Jake Ottinger, too. I mean, like, come on. And I understand, like, I understand some of those goals weren't his fault. Like, there were a couple tough chances.
The McDavid goal in Game 6 was fucking disgusting.
I like, sit in disbelief every day that dude is a legit human being. Because this stuff just looks so easy to him. And for people who don't play hockey, like, what he does, like, that goal, if you saw that goal, what he did, that is unbelievable to do that speed, to change your pace, to change your direction, and then in the tightest of spots, he didn't have no room. He had to put that puck perfectly over his shoulder. He had no space. Boom, backhand flip, up and in. Unbelievable.
We preview Stanley Cup final, NBA finals, which starts tonight. In other NBA news, the ultimate plot twist has happened. Danny Hurley is in discussions with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I didn't expect that. We've been hearing J.J. Redick for like 2 weeks now.
Insane.
So hypothetically, this does happen. I mean, what's UConn's plan moving forward?
Now, if you're... I don't want to go like too into it because I feel like this needs like a whole discussion on its own.
Yeah.
This needs its whole, like, 5-minute segment, but if you're a fan of chaos, boy, do I have the chaotic scenario for you. Because, my God, they could go the boring
route and save it.
I'll save it. I will absolutely save it. Because they brought in a great transfer class with Aiden Mahaney from St. Mary's. They brought in a great recruiting class led by Liam McNeely, who was teammates with Cooper Flagg at Montverde. There's just a lot going on. A lot going on with the Lakers job. And
can we all agree? I guess we all agree, but just me and you, that the Lakers have probably been the most exciting team in sports to follow for the past, since LeBron got there. They've just been like...
Absolutely.
And for long-time listeners, you guys know who Jack O'Toole is. He's been on before.
I think it goes, honestly, 1-2 right now is the Los Angeles Lakers and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I agree.
That's seriously my 1-2 of just like the most dramatic-looking... scale of teams in the four American sports. I know, I was saying, the Canadian team, but yeah.
But the North American sports. You know what you're saying.
Yes, North America. Thank you.
Like, for long-time listeners know Jack O'Toole, he's been preaching this, that, you know what, like, as much as I love the Knicks, and I love following the Knicks, like, the Lakers have been just so exciting to follow and watch, because you really have no idea with them. You have no idea what's going to happen.
You don't know. You really don't know what's going to happen.
It brings in, like, that playoff hockey aspect almost, because, like, again, they have LeBron, but it's like, what else around him is going to go wrong? Like, what's going to go wrong with him? Like, is things going to go right? Because he's coming back next year. Like, what's the – he's going to be 40. What's the plan? I don't know what the plan is. I'm very excited to see what's going to happen. So.
Who knows? And then baseball, Yankees, my God, they're on fire. They are
on gosh.
Fire.
You're going to – real test this weekend, Friday. Real test. Not tonight. Twins are going to be easy work. But tomorrow. Oof.
I'm excited. Yes Network is, though, because here's what happened. Friday's game was originally just supposed to be on Apple. And then I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know what the hell happened. But Apple's still calling the game. But the local broadcasts, like the Yes Network and Sportsnet LA, they'll be airing the game too. Yes Network doing their... Yeah. Yes Network is doing their pregame from Yankee Stadium. Like, this isn't, like, for a regular season game, that never happens.
Well, this is a playoff game, because, Stan, let's be honest. These two teams hypothetically could face each other in the World Series. I look at these lineups going up and down. This is going to be a home run fest in Yankee Stadium. They're all going to be, because look at yesterday. I mean, they were gassing up Paul Skenes in the first inning, striking out Shohei. He took him straight away center 420 in his next at bat.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun. It's going to be a real funny series.
The Dodgers have been struggling, though. They have been struggling. They have a big,
I believe any team like the Dodgers, they play the Yankees. They're not struggling no more. They're going to figure it out. It's going to be
struggling. Yeah, they are on the verge of getting swept by the Pirates. It's just, there's a lot going, and I feel bad. I just know Friday isn't really going to be like, because you know who's in line starting for the Yankees on Friday, right?
Who is it?
Cody Poteet against Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Oh, no. You know what, though? Yamamoto starting on Friday actually could be good for you. He throws a real flat fastball. If you get on top of that, it could be a home run fest for that three.
Fair enough, yeah. All right, and then the Mets get a big sweep over Washington. Seems like Jeff McNeil gets benched.
Just get him off the team. Why is he playing? Jose Iglesias played much better second base than he did. I mean, just get rid of him.
Oh, my God, I'm about to sneeze. Stan, this is
our lineup yesterday, if you just look at it, it's absurd. Luis Torrens hitting two home runs. Jose Iglesias hitting a double, making a diving plays in the field.
You're welcome. Yeah,
take
Luis Torrens. Yeah, I will
take the $100K
and
Michael Tonkin. And Michael Tonkin.
He's actually been serviceable now. He's actually been serviceable.
Reed Garrett is turning into new Michael Tonkin. Reed Garrett had like a good three-week stretch. This guy is one of the worst relief pitchers in baseball. And I bring it up Jack O'Toole again because he said it best. He just looks scared on the mound. Like he looks nervous, like something bad's going to happen to him. You're winning by like 9 runs. Just finish the game. It's not like what? I don't know.
Oh my God. I just saw some, what do you call it? Fuck. Oh, Giants content. Malik Nabers just went off at 11-on-11. It was awesome. I love my life.
Good to hear.
I might drive to Jersey right now and just put like $30 on him to win offensive rookie of the year. I'm not kidding.
Me and Pete were talking about going to camp, maybe checking out a practice some scrimmage games.
Shit. All right, let's dive right into it. The New York Rangers eliminated. Season is done. It's over. It was a tough way to go out. It was a pretty, I think, game five. After game five, you kind of had it in the back of your mind, like, okay, shit. Because us crazy Ranger fans are like, we lost game five in 94, and so many 94 things have just happened to us. The amount of people that texted me when they lost in game six, it was like, so what does this feel like? I'm like, stop.
Like, I sent some like heinous texts. I was celebrating.
You didn't send anything to me, so I was like, oh, shit. Oh. I was waiting.
I was coming home from the Mets blowout loss. I needed to get some anger out, so I called Aiden. God, I went to Daryl Strawberry retirement night. That was one of the most pathetic displays of baseball and effort I've seen. I don't want to bring it up, but that was just, oh, my God.
Okay, so, all right. There's a lot of questions going into next year. I think you already have one line that's set. I seriously think that's your line for the next 4 years of Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere. That's got to be your...
That's your first line.
That's your first line. Although they may look like they're the second line. That's your first line. The thing with the deadline... And now I wouldn't necessarily call the deadline that we had a disaster. I liked the Alex Wenberg, much to other people's beliefs, I liked the addition of Alex Wenberg. I think he brought a new aspect to the team of just, you know, he could handle the puck. He made the right play. He was great on the forecheck. He just couldn't finish.
Yeah.
He had everything but the finish. Now, if you want to talk about Jack Roslovic, that watching that man play hockey might have given me AIDS. But he's just
Pierre Engvall.
Like that, he is. Jack Roslovic could fucking skate like nobody's business. But he was either one, eating shit, or two, fanning on a shot. You didn't know what you were getting with him.
I'm telling you, dude. He was your Pierre Engvall.
What was he doing? Oh my God.
I get anyway. What is he, 24 now? 23? He's a younger kid, isn't he?
I know he's young, yeah, but just
I wouldn't sign him. I mean, I let him walk.
Oh my God. If we bring him back, my love of the game is gone.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense to bring him back. Okay, wow, he's a lot older than I thought.
He's 27.
Don't bring him back. That makes no sense.
Do not bring him back. Holy shit. There's the way that Florida plays compared to the way the Rangers play is night and day. It's very night and day.
Yeah.
This Rangers team needs to be more physical. And now, going into this offseason, there's a lot of questions with that top six. I just said Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere have been dynamite. The right wing on that first line, that Kreider and Zibanejad line, has been a revolving door. So there's really no one to move there. Mika Zibanejad has a no-move clause. That leaves one guy. And I'm sorry, it's Chris Kreider. It's Chris Kreider. He has the build to be a Tkachuk or a Barkov-type player. And he's 6'3", 230. He has the build of being that Tkachuk and Barkov-type player, and he's just not that. He's not he can be physical, but, like, it's not – he's not physical all the time. He's really just, like, looking to score. And I get it. Chris Kreider is going to be remembered in Rangers history forever because of that natural hat trick in Game 6 against Carolina. But there have been so many nights this past year where we were like, where the fuck is Chris Kreider? where is he? And
he's a power play merchant.
I mean, we could say that, but I think he might be the odd man out here.
If he is, now what are you trying to get in return for him? Because I know, if you free
physical.
His...
physical. Do you want my unrealistic and my realistic target?
Like who, Brady Tkachuk?
Yeah, the guy that plays for the team on your hat right there. I'd fucking kill a small child for Brady Tkachuk right now. Oh my god.
Gonna cost you.
It's gonna cost us a lot, but to be honest.
Jeez, he's the captain. I'm trying to think of what you'd have to give up. You might have to give up like Othman, Kreider, and a pick.
Othman, Perreault.
I wouldn't give up Perreault. Perreault's gonna be sick. You lucked out with that one.
I know, but here's the thing with Othman. Now you bring up Brendan Othman. Well, my unrealistic target is Brady Tkachuk. My realistic target, honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing a guy like Yanni Gourde from Seattle.
Yeah.
Now my thing is, if you trade Chris Kreider,
you got to get an elite guy in return. But
prospect. Then there's outrage if they're dumping him for prospects.
Yeah. I don't think necessarily you need to move a guy like Chris Kreider to get Yanni Gourde. I mean, you look at the season Seattle had last year. They're trying to move forward with a younger group. They got Matty Beniers leading them. I think if you just give Othman up.
Right, too.
Yeah, you give Othman up and you use maybe a third round pick.
Here's the thing with Othman. My thing with Othman is I think that he's going to be the Kako replacement. I think they're going to move Kako.
Yeah, I think right now, realistically, Othman's got more value than Kako. Kako's been so disappointing.
Yeah. He's been awful.
He's been so disappointing.
There were high expectations going in with him this year. Laviolette told him he was going to be on that first line with Kreider and Zibanejad, and he didn't perform. And then he was on a checking third line. Granted, one of the best checking lines in the league during the playoffs.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. That Cooley-Wenberg-Kako line was dynamite. But the Rangers did not draft Kaapo Kakko to be a checking third lineman.
They drafted him second overall to be in what they said. If you saw what his draft picture looked like on draft night, it said complete player, nothing I would change about his game.
None.
It was like
none.
He's been pretty disappointing. Now, I like a guy like Yanni Gourde. I also like a guy like Palat, maybe. I know this is outrageous to even ask because I think he'll probably get re-signed. But you do kind of have a win now team, right? You're kind of in a we're trying to win the cup situation.
And
Steven Stamkos interest you at all? Like at all? I'm just curious because you're going to have the money. I mean, there's been very much speculation if he's going back because they don't have too much cap to work with. I'm just saying, I know he's injury prone, but that guy performs night in, night out when he plays.
But we saw it last year, or not last year technically, but like two seasons ago when they got Patrick Kane, they got Vladimir Tarasenko, and everyone, and even you were saying, like, you have, and I get it, we had the worst coach on the fucking planet in Gerard Gallant.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I could have done a better job back there.
Yeah. The thing is, so many players, and now am I saying Steven Stamkos is past his prime? Kind of.
He might be. 60. Scored 60 in like 11.
A lot of players are, are technically past their prime.
St. Louis was past his prime.
St. Louis is an exception because he actually like produced, but there were a lot of guys. I'm just going to say there were a lot of guys that have gone on the Rangers and have not performed. We can honestly, I mean, I wouldn't say Yager either due to the fact that, he has the regular season point record. Like,
so ridiculous.
Yeah, but like Gomez, Naslund, Brad Richards, Gabrick, Nash, like there's so many, like just going into a year with high expectations, it's just, I don't know. I don't see it. Okay. I just don't see, they need
Stamkos this year. I'm just saying this. I understand that, but I'm just saying this year just for the Stamkos thing. 79 games, 81 points. So there you go. Just putting that out there. But also, I look at this free agent class. I look at this free agent class. Guys that I would – you want a winger. You want a physical winger, scrappy guy. Tyler Bertuzzi's a free agent this year.
Yeah.
Ooh. 29 years old, plays the left and the right side.
Now, here's
that's a guy
thing.
You can go after.
What I mean – I think Tim has understood this, but to the listeners here and watchers and viewers, what I mean they need to get more physical – I do not mean them getting like a third or fourth line goon like Ryan Reeves. They need a top line guy that can be a force on both ends.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. And I like.
Oh my gosh.
What's happening?
Something was just chasing a baby deer in my backyard.
Nice.
Oh, two baby deers chasing each other.
Oh, okay. Jesus, anyway. I thought we were.
Anyway.
About to fucking
yeah, I'm about to see something
murder.
Get killed right now. I know.
Oh,
better jump in. I'll get both.
But yeah, there's. I think, you know, this past offseason was a big question mark on who they were going to get for coach, and they succeeded. Now it's in the back of your mind that, you know, Laviolette teams don't really do well in the future. You know, that first year they always shine, and then year two, year three,
yeah,
they're kind of regressing.
Don't do too
they don't do too hot.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for a sort of, you know, the opposite. And now the big question is you got to get guys to improve your team. Because right now, Kaapo Kakko is not living up to the hype. He's an RFA. You either find a partner or let him be. Because right now you cannot. You can't.
Yeah.
I think the... Well,
no, go ahead.
Okay. I think the only guy with an expiring contract that you bring back is Braden Schneider.
100%. 100%. Your defense runs so much better when he's in the lineup.
Especially when he's paired with Keandre Miller, too. We got a small sample size of when Jacob Trouba was hurt. When Jacob Trouba was hurt with that broken ankle. Now that we find out it's a fucking broken ankle. And that line was dynamite. With Miller and Schneider, and then we got a small sample size of it in the regular season. We even got a small sample size of it in the playoffs, and they looked good. They looked like a big threat, two big guys that can play both left and right. Absolutely. Like, I just...
Yeah, well...
There's so many questions.
I think...
There's
a lot of questions, a lot of holes to be filled. This free agent class is pretty deep. I'm just looking at a few guys right now, just want to pick your brain. I don't think you throw money at Jake Guentzel. I just don't see that happening.
Do you know where I think Jake Guentzel goes? You want me to
Pittsburgh.
Be like completely no,
somehow
I think he goes
back
to
Pittsburgh.
He goes to Chicago. I think he goes to
I can't actually see that happening. I heard rumors Petty Kane might be going back.
Ooh. He should just go to Buffalo.
Well, yeah, well. I look at a guy like Timo Teravainen. I think the
okay.
Carolina Hurricanes are in a really weird spot right now where they have a lot of guys from this team that they got to make decisions whether we're going to let them go or bring them back. I know Martin Natchez has a question mark. Nosen's a question mark. They don't really know what they're doing yet. And a lot of these guys are available, you know, up for at least to throw a contract at. I think Teravainen's a big winger you could bring in. Again, plays both sides. I just think they have a lot of options in this free agent class where they don't necessarily need to move a guy like Kreider, where you could bring in a guy like, I don't know, Jonathan Marchessault, Tyler Johnson, you know, like,
yeah,
maybe Varanen, I think he's past this spot. But you see what I'm saying? We're like, I think they have a legit chance to build within free agency this year and not necessarily go after, like, 35-year-old guys. You know, a lot of these guys are 28, 29 years old. Guys like Jake DeBrus, 27. A guy I want the Islanders kind of go after. So I think they can build within free agency. I think if you're going to move a guy like Chris Kreider, Stan, you got to be getting something special in return.
Yeah, you got
to
be
know what
some,
you,
yeah.
But I don't know what you really need. I mean, do you get an elite puck mover defenseman and someone that you could put in your second line with Trouba instead of, you know, let Fox work the front and you could have Guy work on the both power plays? I don't know. I'm just,
yeah.
Just trying to spitball here. There's a lot of options they can do. It's going to be an interesting offseason.
My thing with the Rangers is this. Just get more physical. That's all I ask. More physical. Because the more physical you get, the more it opens up opportunities for Panarin, for Lafreniere, for any for anyone, really. Like, let's all be honest. It's just, I think, get rid of Trouba. I don't know how you find a way to get rid of him, but find a way to get rid of him. Kako's got to go. 19 points in 61 games.
That's not good.
That's not good. That's not good. And then, honestly, just dabble. Dabble with Kreider. Dabble with it. See what goes on.
Hey, you could search the market.
Yeah.
Stefan knows it. Jordan Martinook needs to be signed.
See what happens.
Carolina's in a tough spot.
Yeah, oh yeah. Carolina's going to be a completely different team.
I know.
Next year. And I don't know why.
I don't know what they're going to do.
I seriously thought Brendan Boyer was going to take that Toronto job.
He should have been out the door after not calling timeout.
Yeah. That was interesting. All right.
Get him out of here.
Staying with hockey, Stanley Cup Finals starts Saturday. Panthers, Oilers, what do we think? Because this honestly could go, if the cards are dealt right for Edmonton, this could go either way. If Florida is doing their thing, I would be surprised if it goes past five.
Yeah, I think what we're going to see right now is we're seeing the best offensive player in the world, forward at least, versus the best defensive forward. They're going to line match Barkov with McDavid. They've been line matching him with, you know, top guys all playoff long. And he's held
with
them to
Panarin, with Pasternak,
with who they had before that.
Kucherov.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Those are three of the top players in the world. He's held them to such minimal point production. So it's going to be interesting to see what he can do to maybe slow McDavid down. Do I think he's going to be successful? Absolutely not. I don't care how good you are. I really don't. There's nobody remotely close to this, and there's a reason he had 100 assists this year. Like, it's going to be a tough challenge for him to slow him down. Obviously, Ekman-Larsson's going to get the second guy. He's been fantastic defensively. Fantastic. I want to see what he can match up against Dreisaitl and do. It's really hard for me to see Edmonton winning the series, but at the same time, I have just a gut feeling that they're going to get it done somehow. I don't know what it is. I think it's a McDavid X factor, and the way, you know, they have the four top point getters in the playoffs right now.
You mentioned a McDavid X factor. Seriously, I have two X factors for the Oilers in order to win this series.
Stuart Skinner.
Stuart Skinner. Actually, three now that you mention it. Stuart Skinner. Because if he's doing what he's doing in the Dallas series, this is going seven. This is absolutely going seven. If we see the same Stuart Skinner that we saw in the Vancouver series, it's a disaster. It's going to be a disaster, and Florida wins in five.
Yep.
My second X factor, Evander Kane. We need to see the Evander Kane in the playoffs. We need to see the Evander Kane that we saw in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Go get suspended again. I don't care. Just go be gritty. Go do something.
Go get suspended again. Why not? But there's really, when you think about it, if he's scoring goals, like, I know there's Dreisaitl and there's Zach Hyman, but Evander Kane, if he can fucking score some goals, then that's a whole different fucking level of stopping the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, once the wheels get going for him, it's tough to slow him down.
And then last but not least, my third X factor, Darnell Nurse. I feel like we've always been complaining about this guy, about how terrible he is. Go get fucking double-digit hits every fucking game, I'm telling you. Just when you think of these hard, gritty fucking defensemen that win, one that comes to mind, Spronger. That's immediately one that comes to mind. Just a fucking hit. Like, I know you just mentioned go get suspended, but seriously, fucking go get a fucking 5 minute mate. Get ejected. Yeah. Send a message.
Yes, because this is how Florida's going to want to play. They're going to want to play physical. Obviously, not with that first line again, because once you're out of the play with McDavid, you're out of the play. There's no getting back there. But Darnell Nurse is getting $9 million. I mean, he's a top-paid defenseman in the league. What he's got to do is step up as their number one guy. I know Bouchard is the number one right now. I mean, they figured that they drafted him 10th overall in 2018. He was, you know, supposed to be this guy, and he's been phenomenal. But if you could just play physical enough, like an Aaron Ekblad, you know, just block shots, get in front, be physical in the corner, win battles. It's going to help out Edmonton so much and push for that, you know, just a little bit more that they need. Because I look at their team, and other than goaltending, honestly, like, they are really deep. They have a good four lines. They really do. And their power play has been excellent. Their penalty kill has been excellent. Everything's been going right for them. So if they could just continue to push that.
This is going to be a fun series because it's the best power play, Edmonton, taking on the best penalty kill, Florida. Yeah. And we could honestly say the same about Florida's power play and Edmonton's penalty kill.
It's 1-2.
This can be an evenly matched up series, and that's why I could possibly see it going to seven. It all comes down to those three X factors. If Stu Skinner is the Stu Skinner that we saw against Vancouver, Florida wins in five. Vander Kane needs to step up, score some goals. Darnell Nurse needs to play physical. That's what the Oilers need to win this series. Florida has everything. They have the goaltending. Bob's just been on his head for the past 2 months. And we could say a lot about, you know, Tkachuk and Barkov and all these fucking guys. Egman Larson, like, everyone. So
I think, dude, a huge thing for me going into this series is how are these stars going to play against each other? Because you go back to last series, Barkov outplayed Panarin. Matthew Tkachuk outplayed Zibanejad. And you saw it. I mean, it is what it is. It's going to be one, especially matching now, is Barkov going to be able to outperform McDavid or be similar to that production? I don't think so. So I'm going to give McDavid the edge in that. But then you're thinking about Tkachuk versus, Tkachuk against Dreisaitl, and you're thinking about Sam Reinhart versus Nugent Hopkins. If I'm taking my three pick, I like Edmonton's top three a little bit more. I know it's a little less defensive forward, but it's really hard to stop those guys once they get going. We saw what happened with Dallas. We saw the series before. Seen it all season long. Once they get hot and start scoring, it's very hard to slow them down. Yeah. So I want to see how those three stars are going to match up against each other. I'm going to give Edmonton the edge. And if all goes right for Florida, if they can slow down McDavid a little bit, they should have no problem winning this in five. Am I wrong? I mean, the way they played last year is...
You're not wrong.
It's going to go to seven. I'm with you. I think it's going to be so difficult to slow down McDavid. I think some of these games are going to be... There's going to be tight games, 2-1 wins for Florida. But I also think Edmonton might win a few games. Four, five goals they put up, they could score the puck. So we'll see.
I got Edmonton in seven. That's what my heart's telling me. I'm sticking with
it. I'm sticking with you, too. I'm 100% with you. Edmonton in seven. I want to see McDavid hoist it.
I have to be a hater, so give me Edmonton.
I just want to see McDavid win the cup.
The golden boy brings one home. And those
You can't even hate McDavid.
Casual Cat fans. I know. You can't hate McDavid. Absolutely. Yeah.
He's just Cat, like, you know, he doesn't do anything.
It's Cat Country, Tim. Cat Country.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah,
I went to Cat Country as a neutral observer. It was certainly an experience.
It's definitely quiet.
I bet the over. They played the Bruins and I bet the over. It was at 5.5. Oh my god! When that Boston scored the goal to fucking cash the over, I like stood up and screamed, and everyone was like looking at me like, "You fucking asshole!"
Everyone was like 3,000 people there.
Yeah, I was wearing a fucking like Yankee hoodie too.
Who even is this kid?
Who the fuck is this? But I remember scanning our tickets into the game. Like, the security guard was like, "So, like, you're in a Yankees sweatshirt. You're rooting for the Panthers because Boston's playing, right?" I'm like, "No, I'm here for the over 5.5." I'm here for the over, buddy.
I came to watch some pucks go in the net, sir.
Yeah. Fuck your team. fuck the Panthers. Fuck both teams. I'm just here for goals. Like, that's really all it was.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Yeah, I honestly recommend going to a hockey game as a neutral observer, any chance that you can get.
That's
my recommendation.
I've been there. I went to an AHL playoff game. Shout out Amherst versus Syracuse Crunch. That game was Stan Barn, 3,000 people, filled to the brim, packed out, electric atmosphere. Really recommend it. Go All Amherst.
Right. Enough hockey. Let's go to the NBA. NBA Finals start tonight. The Celtics taking on the Dallas Mavericks. This is going to be an interesting, interesting series. I have no idea what either Boston's going to dominate. Like, that's the thing. If Boston's dominating, there's no – yeah. Boston dominates and it goes to five, or Luka and Kyrie doing their thing, this goes to at least six or seven.
This is, and you know what? This is sort of looking like a situation like a Panthers Edmonton. I mean, you don't know. There's two outcomes here.
Porzingis is back tonight.
Here's my thing. They already spaced the floor so well. So adding him, you spaced it even better.
Adding him,
I can't. I Boston in five. I just don't see a world where they. I'm sorry. Ooh. I don't see a world where they lose. I really don't. I don't care how good Luka is. I love him and how good Kyrie's performing. And I want to trust me. I want to see Dallas win. I really do. I don't want anything else but Boston to lose. But the way they play basketball is so, like, technically perfect for new age basketball. Yeah, pure. It's so pure. Like you can't even hate it because it's like you stop one guy, then Jaylen Brown's got 30. You stop Jaylen Brown, Tatum's got 25. Al Horford somehow has made 8 threes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you stop him. Derek White just dropped 45 in your head. So it's, and Drew Holiday's coming off like the bench. I mean, I don't know.
Drew Holiday's starting.
Oh, yeah, right. They move, even with Porzingis back, he's going to start?
I would say so. It was always White, Holiday.
Oh, right. You're right. You're right. What am I thinking? I'm Brown, like literally missing Tatum. One guy. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So Horford's going to be out.
He's not. He's gonna play, but I don't think he's gonna start. Unless
been pretty good. Maybe, I don't know.
I know he's been pretty good. Yeah. Unless they want to like ramp up Porzingis and like give him limited minutes, but we'll see.
How's he gonna match up with Lively?
I don't know. That's an exciting matchup. Now here's the thing. Lively's always been like a somewhat like decent defender in the paint. If he's facing a stretch five, which he's gonna, I don't know how
is he gonna be.
I don't
able
know how it's gonna
work. Yeah,
I seriously think this comes down to bench depth. At the end of the day, I think it comes down to bench depth. You look at the
and
bench
who's got
depth
the better
for
bench depth?
Horford, Hauser, Pritchard. I mean, who else?
Boston's got a whole damn starting five on their bench, and they could rotate guys like Drew Holiday and Derek White in there because it just they can get rest and play with the second squad.
Like,
so
I'm trying to like figure out that like now it's going to be Horford, Pritchard, Hauser as well. He can shoot like it's nobody's business. Like that's really
Pritchard can shoot like it's nobody's business. What is their weak spot? I just want I don't even know. I don't know how you beat them.
I don't know. And you look at Dallas's bench, the rotation that they used last game. I mean, Josh Green, okay, Dante Exum. Exum.
Maybe in 2K16, I'd use Dante Exum.
Yeah, like Maxi Kleba, like Jaden Hardy. Jaden Hardy's been a good, decent guy for them. But it's
you know what's funny because you look at their bench and it's like, how the hell did you get here? are you in this position right now?
They got here because of their star players, because of Luka and Kyrie, and we can even throw PJ Washington in that conversation. PJ Washington.
PJ Washington's been great. He's been great.
What a
pickup.
Trade. What a trade. Poor Grant Williams, but what a trade, man. What a fucking trade. What a trade. That was an awesome trade. But, like, the Boston hater in me wants... The Boston hater in me wants Dallas.
But the realistic person in you... I know you're going to say it because...
The realistic person in me thinks that Boston wins this in five or six. But Tim, as Chet Hanks once said, it's a white boy summer. Give me the Mavericks in seven.
All right. And let me ask you this.
It's a white boy summer. Give me the Mavs.
Who's taking home finals MVP?
Luka.
I think if Dallas wins, it's going to be solely off of how Kyrie Irving performs.
Oh, you want a hot take? You want a hot take? Get ready for this.
Yeah.
I think no matter who wins, Luka wins finals MVP.
That would be insane. They haven't done that since, like, Wilt. When's the last time they've done that? Wilt? Like, I don't even...
Jerry West, I think.
I don't know.
I'm trying to find it.
I think...
Hang on. Finals, MVP, and lost.
Because Celtics is just going to scheme so much to deter Luke. I know you can't stop him, but at least somewhat slow him down and force those tough looks. I know he's been making all of them, so it's not like there's really much you could do.
So, okay. I mean, it's a hot take, but I don't think it's going to happen. Jerry West was the first finals MVP, and that was when they lost. That was when I think the Lakers lost to the Knicks that year.
Hey, take me back.
I think, right? Lakers 60. Was it the Knicks that won? It might have been the Celtics that won in 69.
Of course it is. Of course it's going to happen to the Celtics again.
Yeah, it could happen to the Celtics. Can you imagine? I don't think it's going to happen, but it's just fun to like start that narrative of just like, you know, Luka could win finals MVP and still lose the finals. Like, that's like that.
He's just been so unbelievable.
Be honest. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, it's really not. Especially
no.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
I'm gonna have to give it to Tatum because I think they're gonna win in five. So I don't. But if Dallas wins, okay. My hot take: if Dallas wins, it's all because of what Kyrie's gonna do, and I'm giving a Finals MVP to Kyrie if Dallas does win, because I think Celtics are gonna do a decent job to slow him down.
It's Kyrie Irving, man. Like, it's Kyrie.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I think if they slow Luka down, it's all going to Kyrie. So we've seen him do it before. Yeah.
He's been clutch before. He's done it a lot of times before. 2016, man.
I still watch those highlights every day, Stan.
Oh my god. Trying to think,
Stan. That was the best basketball I've ever watched, dude. LeBron was pointing at the backboard.
Was real hoops.
He was calling for an oop off the glass on a fast break from Kyrie in like a game six of a playoff series, and just throwing it down. I mean, they were ridiculous.
That was real hoops, man. That was real hoops.
Take me back.
Good times.
I know.
Yeah, really. just so many good fucking. If you were in middle school or high school between the years 2016 to maybe 15. Yeah, I was gonna say. All right, 2015 to 2017, 2018.
18 was the last year they were there.
18
was the best LeBron that I've ever seen. That was unbelievable. Yes. He had like George Hill as a starting point guard.
Yeah, that was the greatest LeBron James I've ever seen. All right. Moving on, sticking with the NBA. For the past 2 weeks, we have been hearing J.J. Redick going to the Lakers. That's all we heard. And then, this morning, out of nowhere, Woj tweeted that the Lakers are looking at Danny Hurley. Danny Hurley. If this happens,
what a turnaround.
I'm just going to. Exactly. What a fucking turnaround. If this happens, I just can't imagine. Like, it's just.
Does LeBron win the NBA Finals at 40?
But, like, here's the thing. The way Danny Hurley coaches is not the way, like, an NBA coach would go about. Danny Hurley is a hard-nosed guy. He fucking, like, he has no problem screaming at you. He has no problem, like, just the offense that he runs is not an NBA-caliber offense. It's not. I find it hard to believe that a guy like him takes a job in the NBA, especially when he's going to be coaching LeBron James, who likes to be the leader. You know what I mean, though. Like, Danny Hurley likes to take the initiative, but LeBron likes to take the initiative more. That's the thing. I don't think Danny Hurley's going to play second fiddle to LeBron James. He doesn't seem like that type of guy.
Yeah. We all know the Lakers have been coming out and saying that they haven't been consulting LeBron about this,
head coaching job.
They have been.
Yeah, they have. Here's the funny thing about this. We heard the J.J. Redick smoke. Now, when this job was opening, do you know who's been like an unofficial resource to finding this head coach?
J.J. Redick? Who?
Coach K.
I'm not kidding. This is why the Lakers are the most interesting team in all of North American sports, because you legitimately just have no idea what the hell is going on with them ever. Like, ever.
Not a clue.
Oh, good. But they have the most headlines about things that are going to happen, players they're going to get. I mean, it has never worked out. And now we're hearing I don't want to get in the Cavs talk.
You mentioned like the Lakers being like the most like entertaining team on the planet. Like, remember when people were hating on Talen Horton Tucker?
They need him. They need a guy like that now.
Horton Tucker.
THT. I mean, this is just like.
And now he's just.
they've had a different roster every season, and it's basketball, so it's like that doesn't really happen ever, like ever.
I know. So we can mention like the Lakers stuff all we want, but let's all be honest here. If Danny Hurley takes this Lakers job, it's going to create chaos around the landscape of college basketball. And me, of course, me being the fucking college basketball junkie that I am. So this is the tweet from John Fanta. This is true. Dan Hurley met with his players at UConn this morning and informed them that he told them that he is in talks with the Lakers. So this is confirmed. Dan Hurley is speaking with the Lakers. Hurley did not want to hide, and this is true. This is like, I give him props for this. He did not want to hide the fact that he did not want to hide the fact that this is real. The last thing that he wanted to do was lie to his players and have them find out through the media. So he wanted them to hear it from himself. The Huskies do have, I'll get to what I just found out later. The Huskies have practice right now. Dan Hurley has told his players that it's business as usual. I find it hard to believe that your coach is telling you, hey, I might be going halfway across the country. I don't know how that's business as usual, but okay. But here's something that's telling with the business as usual. If this is business as usual and Dan Hurley goes to the Lakers, they are having an in-house hire and keeping everybody.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't think anything will change. Well, that's also a big thing for me is if he leaves, do these guys they brought in – like recruit-wise,
that's the
change
thing.
Their minds.
If they hire in-house, I think that keeps all the – like, look at what – I mean, I know that Coach K announcing his retirement a year early, and people can say retirement tour all they want, but to be honest –
It was smart.
That's why Duke is still getting these top guys, Flag and all these fucking people. Like,
people appreciate transparency.
They do. But – and you bring – like, honestly, one person that comes to mind is Luke Murray, who's one of the top assistants at UConn. He was interviewed for the Siena job. People that – I know hometown guy. Yeah.
Siena. Go Saints.
Here. Yeah. Go Saints. He was interviewed for the Siena job. A lot of teams liked him a lot, but he was – stayed at UConn. He said I wouldn't be shocked if he's going to be named head coach. Now, if you want real chaos – where it's like they hire out of house, and
go get Patino.
Not Patino. He was at the Yankee game last night. He was sitting behind the Yankee dugout. But I don't see a world where it's June 6th. I do not see a world where a college basketball team does a national search, because teams are already doing workouts right now. They're getting implemented to the system. It's a fucking 180 if they just
– it's a whole new
bring
team.
In a new guy and have him learn – and in this era of college sports, oh my God, it'll be a completely different team.
I hope he pulls a Dan Lanning where he just makes a whole nice video about how he's not going anywhere.
You mentioned that. Someone basically said that on Twitter, but minus the Dan Lanning video. It was like –
bring the Dan Lanning. Someone pull that up. I need to get that pulled up at some point. That video. I'm not going anywhere.
This tweet was fucking hilarious because it like truly made sense. And I'm trying. Hurley is so insane that there's a non-zero chance that he leaked this just because he woke up one morning and decided he wanted to tweet the Wolf of Wall Street video. Like, really? There's like, I would not put him like I wouldn't put him out of that. It's not out of the realm of possibility for him to do that, but. If this happens and they go out of house, which they won't, but let's have fun and say if they do, I would not be shocked if Bruce Pearl from Auburn is the first phone call. If they go out of house, which they won't, but let's have fun. If they do,
throw
out these scenarios, if we want real chaos, I think Bruce Pearl needs a change. And we saw with what happened when Auburn got knocked out of the tournament. When Auburn got knocked out of the tournament, and he's been coaching SEC basketball for almost 20 years. This is his 20th season in SEC basketball. He coached Tennessee, and he left Tennessee and went to Auburn. It might be time for a change, Bruce. Let's all be honest here. And you want to talk about, like, he's had a – let's all be – I know Auburn football hasn't really been the greatest in the past couple of years, but He's at a football school coaching basketball. Let's all be honest.
Yeah.
If you want to go to a school that's focused 100% on basketball, UConn is the place.
The program's pretty good. You can't knock it.
Tim, Storrs, Connecticut is the college – they call it the college basketball capital of the world.
I'm just trying to send some love to NCAA hockey, right?
All right. But there's really – again, if he goes to the Lakers, I honestly, if you were to tell me gun to my head right now, he takes that job. I don't think he will.
He's set up at UConn right now.
Here's the thing. The thing is there's so much – it's not just like where he is now. It's also his family. You have to keep in mind, Bobby's coaching at Arizona State right now. If you want to have an off day, go over to Arizona, watch your brother coach at Arizona State, watch some Big 12 basketball. Like that's really what I think is happening right now.
I think right now, obviously, he's a great college head coach. He'll get a job anywhere. But things don't necessarily translate so well to the NBA. I mean, he's going into a rough situation here. He has a bad coaching stint there. It's tough to get a job in the league after a bad year.
We've seen it with college coaches in the past. We saw it with Calipari when he went to the Nets. He was terrible. We saw it with Patino when he went to the Celtics. It was bad. And then he went to Kentucky and then left Kentucky to go coach the Knicks. And then it was bad. And then he went from the Knicks to Louisville. At least that's what I think. Oh, my God. If I completely ballpark that, holy shit. He's coached every team ever. Even Pathinaikos in Greece. But there's like,
I got the landing video up.
Oh, God. You're playing the landing video? Oh, my God.
That's my head coach, Stan. That's my goddamn head coach. God. All right?
You got to come up. You got to – for the Oregon – Ohio. You mentioned Dan Landing right now. The Oregon-Ohio State game, come to Siena. My buddy's an Oregon fan, like diehard Oregon football fan and basketball
should we,
too.
Should we just go to the game?
It's in fucking Eugene, Oregon. Oh, my God. No, come up to Siena. My buddy's an Oregon fan.
I want to watch you two suffer.
No.
What do you mean suffer? We got the fourth best recruiting class in the country going in this year. What are you talking about?
You got the best chance to go undefeated.
I know.
You got the best chance to go undefeated.
Every year I'm sorry to go on this little Oregon football tangent, but every year Oregon has disappointed me. Let's be honest. Every single season has ended either right in the last like three games or the last game of the year. I mean, every year has finished like that. This year, the year before that. I mean, They lost to Ohio State when they had Mariota as their quarterback. They never finish anything.
Yeah,
so
but then they beat Ohio State at the fucking horseshoe. So they beat Ohio State at Ohio State.
That was with Thibodeau. And he wasn't even playing that game. And I bet on that. That was great. They didn't even finish that year.
He was hurt.
No. That was a great game.
He was hurt. That was an awesome game. Yeah. I forgot he was hurt that game. But
Stan, this is the best chance I have. Let's go Oregon, all right? That's a little tangent. Okay.
All right, with Dan Hurley, to be honest, and now back to the NBA aspect of it, and we mentioned how Dan Hurley would not play second fiddle to LeBron James. I'm just going to say it. If Dan Hurley drafts Bronny James, he's the biggest sellout I've ever seen.
Yeah,
he's the biggest sell on the planet.
They need a 3-and-D guy. They need a 3-and-D guy.
Shut up. Shut up.
Waste the second round pick on it.
I can't wait for LeBron to just like not get back on defense and Dan Hurley just have like a meltdown on the sideline.
It's because Stan. He may look like he's not getting back on defense. He's just tracking the play for a chase down block. That's what he's doing. He's 40 years old. Here's my thing. He's going into a situation, Stan, where he really has no idea what this team's going to be. I mean, LeBron's 40 years old. You can't play him every night.
You're gonna have Anthony Davis. You'll have Anthony Davis, which is
D'Lo's a free agent, isn't he? Or is he coming back?
D'Lo's a free agent. Yes, I think honestly, I would not be shocked if you sign D'Angelo Russell, Trade him in a package.
Yeah, trade. I was going to say, I don't think you keep him.
Trade him in a package with Hachimura, a couple picks, go get Trae Young.
Yeah. Yeah, well, here's another thing, too. And then this is Garland's now going to become available.
Really
I'm not even talking
Cavs.
You
really want to talk about the Avengers. There's your Avengers.
You're right. Is Darius Garland
LeBron,
possibly a look they're going to take at? Yeah.
Maybe, but are they going to take? I don't know. He performed so poorly.
I know. He's my favorite player in the
so
NBA.
Poorly. All right. Donovan
I don't want
Mitchell,
to leave. I mean, we're going to keep Mitchell.
I'm sorry.
No way. Mitchell's staying.
You
all right, he's 100%
staying.
You
don't even have a coach right now.
Figure it out. Either the Lakers, all right? Either the Lakers. It's all speculation.
All right.
I want a Ty Lue so bad. I want it. Oh, jeez.
Mike Brown making. When did Mike Brown warrant that much money? Since
God,
when?
God, no. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Weird. All right. That's enough NBA. Let's go to baseball. Tim, let's start with the Mets. 4-game sweep against the Nationals.
Vibes,
now, granted,
vibes are high.
Against the Nationals, but vibes
three game
are,
sweep.
Vibes
three,
are high.
Three. Three,
three game sweep. Sorry. Vibes are high going into London. Very high going.
Although, right now. Are they really? I mean, the Phillies are hot as fuck. We're going to get
smoked. The Phillies are the best team of the sport.
Are the two pitchers? I think it's Suarez is starting the first game, and I think Wheeler's – is Wheeler going the second? Supposedly
– Suarez is questionable because he took that comebacker to the hand.
They got a three-day rest. He'll be fine.
Ranger Suarez and Sean Manaea, but it's not official. And then
– Yeah, Manaea.
Yeah. And then – Ooh, Jose Quintana and Taiwan Walker.
All right. I mean, Taiwan's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But like, is Quintana good? All right. It's going to be interesting. Listen, I'm not really too happy about this England trip, to be honest with you. I'm hoping they could split. But then they go play Miami. If you could take care of business against Miami, this, as bad as the Mets are, and I know it's really early to say this, that NL wild card, that third spot, up for grabs. I mean, no one really has a hold on it.
Completely, completely up for grabs right now.
They're only like 5 games out, so make some moves here. Win a few games.
I bet the over for Kansas City, Cleveland. It's already hit 2 runs right now. I'll just say it right now, since we're on the topic of baseball. I've been handicapping MLB like a psycho. Like 1 a.m. checking the lines just so I could get them low. Like it's bad.
Ripping up KBO.
It's pretty bad. But we look at that National League wild card. It's up for grabs. You know, you got the Padres, the Cardinals have kind of snuck in there.
Yeah,
the Giants, the Pirates have made some noise. They've at least taken 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. The Diamondbacks, even the Reds.
Yeah, and that's all 1.5, one, you know, half a game, yeah. 1 game, 1.5. The Mets and the Nationals, three and a half.
Take care of business against Miami. You're in that conversation. I literally saw something the other day, and it was something about like the Mets' strength of schedule, and I'm trying to find it, but
dude, this AL wild card is so much better.
Yes,
oh my gosh!
Here it is. Starting on June 3rd, the Mets have a whopping 41 games against teams whose current – or this was tweeted on April 30th, or – right? No. Oh, yeah. This was tweeted on April – no, April 30th. That was wrong. 4:30. I'm stupid. But anyway, starting on June 3rd, so started 3 days ago against the Nationals, the Mets have a whopping – this is as of April 30th, so this record will probably be wrong. At the time, their combined record was 66-136. Let's all be they got through that brutal first part of that schedule. If they're able to win those games, they're all very winnable games. So we'll see.
Yeah,
but
it's gonna be something.
It's
so annoying. I know, like, I'm not even talking shade of the Yankees, but like you guys are tied for first in the entire league. It's so annoying that I got to watch these schmucks play every day and absolutely shit the bed every single game, except for last series. But it does not get any easier for the rest of the month. Phillies, yeah, they got a 3-game against Miami. That's all right. Then San Diego, then Texas. Yeah, then San Diego, then Texas, then Chicago. Then the fucking Yankees are on a 2-game series, and then they'll go lose to Houston right after that. So it's...
You want to go?
Yes, of course I want to go. But
I've never been to Citi Field.
Perfect time. You know what? We'll go to one in July. One in June, one July.
Perfect. Although I might be going to Philly in July because the Yankees are playing the Phillies. I might be going to Philly.
When do they play the Phillies? They play the Mets in
late July. Me and Pops might be going.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Also, I might be going to Vegas. I can't believe I'm saying this shit openly on air, but whatever.
Vegas would be awesome. Well, let me see. When you're going to Philly. Oh, no, yeah, you'll have time. It's before then. They play in the 23rd.
Oh, shit. Word. Perfect. So we look. Speaking of the Yankees, let's look at the schedule. They fucking dominated that West Coast trip, man. Oh my god, this team. Oh my! Without Gerrit Cole too. Like I just keep on like saying that to myself. Like every time now, I'm just like without Gerrit Cole. Because what this starting rotation has done, and I know Clark Schmidt's hurt, and he's probably out until after the All-Star break. But what this team has done, it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. We can talk about the play of Juan Soto. We can talk about the play of Aaron Judge. Giancarlo Stanton has been on fire.
Yeah. What a turnaround.
Giancarlo on fire. Anthony Volpe has gotten on base in 31 straight. 31 straight. 31 straight.
The Mets hit the ball?
This team, man, this fucking team, I'm telling you. Oh, my God. We sweep San Francisco. We have a chance to sweep Minnesota tonight. We got the Dodgers. I will gladly take two out of three because, honestly, that Friday game, we're kind of just playing with house money there, considering that who's on the mound. But,
yeah, I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Considering who's on the mound, but shout out Cody Petit. We go at Kansas City for four. Hey. And then we got
to travel,
Boston
though.
They
got to travel. LA's got to
travel.
Travel.
Yeah.
So,
but you never know. But I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited with these Yankees, man. I'm excited with the Yankees. Still need to get some deadline pieces. Bullpen. A high leverage bullpen guy would be nice. I feel like Mason Miller's just like kind of out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, you're gonna have to give up a lot for that. Although
I don't really want.
You could. Well, do you want Mason Miller? Cut off an arm right now for that. Are you kidding me? I can't watch Otto Luzzo go out on the mound every night.
Out the lead go. Adam, out the lead go.
And the Mets put Diaz on the 15-day IL for arm soreness. Yeah, oh, yeah. He just sucks so much. You just don't want to keep putting him out there. I mean,
the Yankees put Ian Hamilton on the COVID IL, and he looks like a completely different pitcher.
Oh,
so COVID.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you know what I do? Here we go. Here's a little Mets update for good positive news. So yesterday, 2 days ago actually, Francisco Alvarez caught a no-hitter in Brooklyn for the Brooklyn Cyclones game. He has been tearing it up down there. He's getting called up to Syracuse. I think it's either tomorrow. He's catching a full game tomorrow. Full game. No. DHing tomorrow, catching a full game Saturday, Sunday, and then next week, he's supposedly rejoining the Mets. So there's some good news for you Mets fans.
That's good.
They got to have back. Luis Torrens, we don't even need him right now. Luis Torrens is...
I would not send him down.
I think Nito's the odd man out.
Absolutely.
Because Navarez is gone.
Jim Calhoun, just the old coach from UConn, just had an interesting quote. He just said, I think he needs to look at the Lakers' opportunity like anybody else would. You've got to look at it. It's Danny and his wife's decision. It's a family decision. Going 3,000 miles from where you're from is hard, though. I looked at a couple of NBA jobs. I know who I am. I'm a college coach. I'm not a pro coach. He's happy at UConn. He loves UConn, and we've become great friends, and I'm very proud and happy for him. It comes down to what he wants, but this is the Lakers we're talking about. yes, you look at this opportunity.
Coach, I mean, Caleb, I agree 100%.
Just saying.
But I also agree with that. Well, all right. But I agree with what he said there. All I'm saying is that he's got to understand what he's going into, and I think that that's really the
he's got to understand what he's signing up for.
I don't even think he's really looking at it as like more of like a new opportunity, not even like an NBA head coaching job. You know what I mean? Like it's more of just like not like oh my god, I'm going to sign as a head coach.
Let's all be honest. He's done everything that he's needed to do in college basketball. Like he's
first repeat
champion since 06-07. Like.
Go take a break. Maybe retire for a year and then, you know, then make a decision. Baseball. Yeah. Go play baseball. Go play. Rockland Boulders tryouts are June 21st to 22nd. Go take a trip down there.
We have to go to a Dollar Beer night at Boulders.
I will. I told Joe Tool if he pays for
you
my truck, I will gladly.
Wait. You want to go today?
I can't go. I'm working. Wait, what time?
I'll check. Hang on.
Oh, wait. I might actually be able to. If it rains at 3 o'clock, for anyone who doesn't know, I'm a caddy in the summertime and I'm supposed to caddy a twilight tee off shotgun start at 4:30. And I think it's ladies group. Now, if it rains, it's either going to get pushed back to canceled
or
not happen. 7 o'clock. Okay.
7 o'clock.
All right. I might be able to do that. Because that actually interests the fuck out of me. I very much want to go to that game. So
it rains at 3 o'clock. 3 and 4, then the sun starts.
I will text
shining.
You. I will make some phone calls. We will get troops for this.
Well,
I am so down.
Here's the thing. We know someone that works with the New York Boulders now.
And I know an alumni who used to work there. Jack O'Toole. Shout out Joe O'Toole.
Nicholas Crocker took Jack O'Toole's job.
He literally took Jack O'Toole's job.
He took his job.
So he's an intern, right?
Yeah, he's like a clubhouse manager intern or something
like
that.
80% sure he just took what J.O. was doing, and now that's because J.O. stopped doing that. Like, he quit that job or whatever.
God.
It was an internship. He stopped doing it, Crocker legitimately just started doing what J.O. was doing. So, there you go.
That's incredible.
That's how the
PR
rolls, baby. That's how it rolls.
That's better than any college basketball coaching cycle ever.
Yeah, the coaching cycle at the Rockland Boulders is the bench coach, Nick Crocker, Jack O'Toole and Nick Crocker. Like Terry Collins to Mickey Callaway.
That makes it worse. That makes it fucking worse. I've been quoted that a lot lately. That makes it worse. That makes it fucking worse, Terry.
I've been quoted. These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Oh, my God. All right,
pretzels are making me thirsty.
Speaking of, pitching matchups are official for the Dodgers series. Poteet, Yamamoto on Friday. Nestor Cortez and Gavin Stone on Saturday. Luis Gil in prime time. Luis Gil.
Glasnow.
I'm loving Luis Gil, man.
You guys don't hit Glasnow well. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I get PTSD from Tyler Glasnow. Just saying.
I was just going to say that wasn't a great 2019.
Yeah. 2020.
Yeah, you're right.
2020.
19 and 20.
Oh, my God. I still have a sick feeling in my stomach after that. All right. Moving on. What I saw is college football playoff. They have revealed the schedule for the college football playoff, the upcoming 12-team playoff. And
like a TV schedule? Or?
Like TV, where they're playing, what time, like everything.
Oh, nice, nice.
Let me just say, we are blessed. We are blessed in the month of December for the sport of football. We are fucking blessed, let me tell you.
It's all December Ducks 20th. This year, baby. It's all Ducks.
So, Tim, I don't know if you know this. So, that you know the top four seeds get a bye, and then...
Yeah.
Five, 12, yes. 5 through 12, the higher seed gets a home game. A true home game.
Oh!
A true home game, yes.
I'm praying for an Oregon bye, I can't lie. They'll blow that home game.
Yeah. Well, they'll be Power 5, so they'll be eligible for the bye. So here's how it's going to work. Friday, December 20th, 8 o'clock. Saturday, we are getting a triple header of college football, college playoff football. Noon on December 21st. TNT has that game. TNT has rights to the college football playoff now.
When's the first time? Is it the first time they've done football? When's the last time that TNT's done football?
They've never done football. They've never done football, ever, which is very interesting. So TNT, so noon, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock for Saturday. That's fucking great.
On TNT, right?
Two on TNT, one on ESPN. I think ESPN got that 8 o'clock slot.
Okay, well, let me ask you, just a little off topic, but do you know what's happening with the Inside the NBA crew on TNT? Because I've been hearing some stuff about them. Are they done? Is this it?
Yeah, I think after next year, they're done, because I think it's like so much money.
They're so good, though.
I know. I think it's going to be – it's ESPN, NBC, Amazon.
All right, whatever.
Yeah.
Amazon. God damn it.
Amazon.
All right.
But
continue.
Here's the thing. Here's what I think what's going to happen, because we saw it happen with hockey where NBC lost the rights to the NHL and basically like half of the NBC people for hockey just flocked over to TNT.
Yeah.
So that's what I think is going to happen, but we'll see. Anyway, New Year's Eve is the Fiesta Bowl. New Year's Eve. We get New Year's Eve football. Very excited about that. Even better, when you're hungover on New Year's Day, don't you worry, because there will be a triple header of college football. This just warms my heart. You got the Peach Bowl at 1, you got the Rose Bowl at 5 o'clock, and you got the Sugar Bowl at 8:45. The semifinals will be the Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl. The semifinals actually falls on a Thursday, January 9th. Friday, January 10th will be the Cotton Bowl. And then the national championship will be in Atlanta on January 20th.
Ducks versus who? That's all I'm saying.
If you want to go even further, you want to see the overall football schedule that we have?
What?
It starts on, like, overall NFL and college. Like, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Thursday night football, December 19th, Browns Bengals. December 20th, first round game, college football. December 21st, oh my God. Oh my, I'm sorry. I'm having like a conniption right now, but I don't care. So Saturday, we get college football, first round game at noon. Then at 1 p.m., we get the Chiefs and the Texans.
That's going to be a flamethrower.
Then, 4 o'clock, you get the other first-round game that day. Then at 4:30, you get the Steelers and the Ravens. And then at 8 o'clock, you have the other first-round game. December 22nd, my birthday, you get a full slate of NFL games. December 23rd, you get Monday Night Football, Saints at Packers. Christmas, you get Chiefs and Steelers, Ravens, Texans, December 26th, Thursday night football, Seahawks, Bears. December 29th, full slate week 17. December 30th, Lions, Niners, rematch of that NFC championship game last year. New Year's Eve, quarterfinal 1, New Year's Day, quarterfinal 2, quarterfinal 3, quarterfinal 4. January 5th, week 18, full slate. January 9th, semifinal 1. January 10th, semifinal 2. January 11th, wildcard weekend day 1. January 12th, wildcard weekend day 2. This could go on even further if we want to
just
include
on every single day.
Football. We need this.
Not to mention, you know, is like right in the middle of hockey season too. So you're watching football to hockey back to football.
Prime gambling.
And the NBA will be on. That's in-season tournament time, isn't it?
No. I think like November's in-season tournament time, unless they want to move back the in-season tournament, which I'm fine with.
Move it to January.
which I am fine with. If we even want to go even further, which honestly, we will, like, I honestly, what if we just like go out all those nights and just like sit at a bar and just like watch football?
Like every night?
Just, There's just like a crowded saloon, and everyone's like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" Like, "Ah, shut up, I got the over. Shut up."
There's five games on right now. Like, I'm in the middle of this Dave and Buster's. In the middle of this Dave and Buster's going crazy.
Me and Jack Scanlon almost did that. We were both home the Friday of the first round games of March Madness. We almost went to saloon at noon, sat at the bar, and just like almost like just watched basketball all day. That was our plan, and then Jack got sick. Oh, we were so close.
It's like watching a day baseball game at the bar. What's the point?
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I just had to like dream about football real quick because there's nothing better. There's nothing better. This is going to be prime gambling time. Also, my next one I saw is the new freaking people are calling it Losing Time. It's actually called Clipped, the Donald Sterling story. I can't get over Ed O'Neill playing Donald Sterling. I only see Ed O'Neill as Jay Pritchett from Modern Family being this happy guy. And now I got to talk. Now I got to see Ed O'Neill play this like very racist guy. I hate it. It's not good. I hope Steph Curry or Klay Thompson have an awful game because, my God, the people are – I'll just say this. The guy that's playing Steph Curry looks more like Dak Prescott than Steph Curry.
I don't even see a picture of him. They're not even close looking at all. That's like if you show me a picture of Dak Prescott and Steph Curry, like I would see no resemblance whatsoever.
It's literally, oh my God, it's so bad. Like, I'm being serious. He looks more like Dak Prescott than fucking Steph Curry. It's actually absurd. Oh God, this is funny. Crews respond to a car hanging off of a uptown Charlotte parking deck, to which someone says, "God damn it, LaMelo." God damn it, LaMelo.
Oh, dude, is there any update on Lonzo Ball? I saw his name getting thrown around a little bit. He's not playing
Shit. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, what the fuck? Oh my God.
Right. Let's get through this real quick. Okay, nobody's watching women's basketball. Yeah, nobody's watching women's basketball because of Angel Reese. I'm sorry, but I'm just not. I'm just saying her in general because she thinks it's all revolving around her. Yeah. It's not her. You know what they're watching for? The New York fucking Liberty because they're fantastic. Unbelievable.
I know.
And they're following the number one overall pick like people did this year for San Antonio. People watching Wembanyama. Like, this is just what people do. When there's a hype prospect, they watch games. Look what happened in the NHL. Connor Bedard had the Blackhawks televised nationally. The Blackhawks were the second worst team in the NHL this year. So they had no business being nationally televised, but it's just attraction. That's what it is. It's not personal, but it's like, why? I don't understand why Angel Reese thinks like she is the face of the WNBA.
I'll just say this. I love that we have a hero versus a villain and they're both rookies and we have to talk about this for the next like 15 years. I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. Speaking, you mentioned hockey. After 520,000 fan votes, the new Utah NHL franchise is down to six potential names. The Utah Blizzard, the Utah Hockey Club.
That's what it's going to
be. Utah Mammoth, Outlaws, Venom, and Yeti.
It's going to be the Hockey Club.
I think it comes down to Yeti or Hockey Club.
I think it's Hockey Club. I don't hate it. I think I like it.
I don't hate it either.
You know what? And the crazy thing is, I loved the Washington football team. I actually loved the name.
That's the thing with the Washington football team was it took a while to get used to, but once you got used to it, it was like, oh shit. Like I kind of fuck with this.
I know. It actually like it was just like a ring off your tongue. I don't know. Just like it kind of spills out.
The Washington football team.
Like it's just like, I don't know. It's just easy to like,
Everyone shit on it. Everyone shit on it when it came out. After 2 years, I was like, shit.
I think it's better than the Commanders. I think they should have just kept it. I really thought they should have kept it.
I need Left Hand Up back in my life. It's like, I should hate the Commanders because it's like...
Yeah.
I should hate the Commanders because they're like, you know, NFC East team. Like, I have to hate Jaden Daniels for the next 15 years, but...
Do you, though? They don't win much.
Oh, speaking of football, Justin Jefferson now the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Much deserved.
Yeah, I mean we'll get into the OTAs next episode. Oh, yeah. A lot of guys did not show up.
Yeah, you're what I saw.
What, at the Daryl Strawberry retirement night?
You went to Daryl Strawberry retirement night.
Yeah, I went to Daryl Strawberry retirement night. I bought my dad tickets for his birthday. It was a fun game. Actually, no, it was not. It was a fun retirement ceremony. The Mets. Sean Manaea was dealing through 2 1/3 or 2 2/3. And I don't know. Walks one guy on, lets up a single. Bases, walks another. Well, actually, no. Walks one guy on, lets up a single, first and second. Then a guy hits a ground out to move a runner over, right? So it's one out.
Yes.
Or no outs. Sorry. Somehow they get over. So I forget what it was. It was a walk or something. But now it's at some point, it's bases loaded, no outs. So Manaea strikes out. I'm like, holy shit, he's going to get out of this. Or no, it was first and second, no outs. Two strikeouts. I was like, he's going to get out of this. Walked a batter. I was like, all right. Whatever. Christian Walker's coming up. He didn't see it so well in the first plate appearance, whatever. It's still 0-0 game. And he has like four strikeouts right now. It's a career high on pace for Manaea. First pitch. Manaea, 90 miles an hour, middle in. Christian Walker just pimps it left field, second deck, grand slam. So now I'm like, the game's over. Manaea finishes with 10 strikeouts. For it was like the first time in his career, like in recent history. The Mets were down 10-1 the whole time. They storm back in the ninth. They make it 10-5 and then strike out. I was like, all right, well, I'm getting the hell out of here. Like, this is, I don't know why I stay. Yeah. It's just in my nature. I don't leave games early. It's not my thing. I like staying to watch
the finish. That's not my thing either. I think the one time I left a game
football early. Football games is different. Football games is a little different.
Football is different, like, but the one time I left like a non-football game early had to be, I went to a Rangers Capitals game and I was in middle school. They lost like 7-3. It was so absurd. It was so bad.
Like when it gets to a point, then you're like, all right, like I got to get out of here. Especially to a Rangers game. Like, you know, you got to be traffic. Like in Long Island, I'm like, all right, whatever. Like it's fine. But like for baseball games, Stan, I legit don't think I've ever left a baseball game early. I don't see the reason to. It's baseball, dude. Things happen in one inning. Things happen in one inning. I've seen teams put up like nine spots. I want to see that happen.
I forget who told me this, but I remember hearing a story about how like – one of my cousin's friends, like his family, like went to a Yankee game and like the Yankees were like fucking like pummeling them and they left early. And then as they were leaving early, they find out like a bench clearing brawl broke out and they're like, we are never leaving early from a game ever again.
That's what I'm saying. It's just bad luck. You bought the ticket, stay and watch to the end. It's like going to, do you leave a movie early? Actually, no. You sit and watch the shitty movie all the way through. I'm sorry.
Hand up. I do admit to leaving a game early recently. It was a getaway game. Yankees, Mariners. Cole gave up six in the first inning. It was so bad.
Well, all right.
And then like the offense couldn't generate anything, and then we were just like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, like
the one thing we missed was a Kyle Higashioka home run. Like, it really wasn't.
Like, if you're with your family, I get it. But like, if you're with your boys, like, just get me another beer. We're gonna sit through this misery together. Like.
Hopefully we can do that today.
I will get Pete to go immediately. Everyone would come to that.
All right. That was a long one. Holy shit. Oh my God. We almost went 90 minutes.
We're just rambling.
We're rambling on. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Be sure to subscribe to our new YouTube. Because we got locked out of our old one again, but I promise you, new YouTube. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
Five stars.
5 stars only. And we will see you guys hopefully Tuesday or Thursday. Who knows? I feel like we just...
Wednesday, Thursday. It's one of those 3 days.
Yeah. I feel like we just throw one up in the air and then surprise you guys. So we love the element of surprise.
Days.
So we'll just leave it at
that. My work schedule doesn't come out till Sunday, so I don't know.
We'll just leave it at that. All right. Peace out, guys.